This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hour two of Money Moves coming at you from coast to coast today alongside Ariel Epstein out there in NYC. Stormy Bonantoni live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. We got our producer Brian Ortega at the controls. Wherever you may be watching or listening, we appreciate it. YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158, the VSiN Watch app. Welcome our new Charlotte audience as well. You're getting VSiN 24/7 on WZGV 730 AM 97.5 FM with wall-to-wall odds, expert analysis, and more. So we appreciate you. By the way, we didn't talk about this area last segment. We were getting into all of our NFL betting guide conversation, which drops today, July 1st. The NFL betting guide is out, but Carolina Panthers are another one of those teams that could be a sleeper coming up this year. I think they're a little bit underrated. Love that season win total over this year.
Is that not a homer play? Or is that like totally unbiased because of our past?
We're Bryce Young truthers over here, okay?
We're like, believers.
I'm telling you. We're believers.
I need Adam Thielen to stay healthy. I would love to see Adam Thielen have like one more healthy season and help this younger wide receivers core, Xavier Leggett and Tyrell McMillan. These two wide receivers could learn so much under Thielen if only he could just stay healthy. And then, of course, it's the question of the defense. Derrick Brown obviously still there. J.C. Horn supposed to be hopefully can get a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we were a top draft pick and we haven't seen the best out of him. I would love to see the Panthers defense do a little better. But Stormy, that run D last year was horrific. I mean, any of us could have run the football over them.
Yeah, well, they figured things out on defense. The offensive line took a huge step if they can continue to get better. And you mentioned T-Mac. I'm a huge Tetteroa McMillan fan. I think he's another one of those players, offensive rookie of the year. Could be giving him a look if things come together. I'm a fan.
As long as Bryce Young doesn't make any stupid mistakes.
Also, can we talk about that that draft class of quarterbacks? Everyone's like, oh, he's the small one. He's the one that's going to get banged up. He's not going to be able to handle it at the NFL level. How about all those other guys? Who's the one dealing with injuries? All right, I'm just saying. Okay, that said, Charlotte fans, can't help you with the Hornets. We're all in on the Panthers, though, over here. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we will have VSiN.com managing editor Adam Burke join the program. He's going to talk through all of the different articles and elements that we have coming up in that NFL betting guide that is out, some of his favorite bets. He is also one of our amazing MLB writer, so we'll get some of his favorite plays at the end of the day, which is actually where we're going to start here as well. Ariel, we do have a loaded Major League Baseball slate coming up, all 30 teams in action, although potential rain out, which we will get to in a moment. But as you look through the slate today, I know your Yankees always catch your attention, and they are the first game of the day taking on the Blue Jays today. Max Fried and Kevin Gausman on their respective hills. Anything that stood out to you?
What stood out to me at first was the time of the game, Stormy, because it starts at a little after 3 p.m. Eastern time. It is Canada Day. So Toronto, just like the Red Sox play early for Patriots Day, Toronto plays a 3 o'clock game on Canada Day. It's a good pitching matchup, too, because you get Kevin Gausman up against Max Fried. I'm still riding this trend, Stormy. Yankees lefty Max Fried under 5.5 Ks. Fried's faced two low strikeout rate teams against lefties this season. Both starts were at home. He only had 3 in the start he had against Toronto at home. Now he's on the road. I said it yesterday. It was my best bet of the day. Carlos Rodon under 5.5 Ks against the Toronto Blue Jays, because the Blue Jays, 9 of the last 10 lefties to start against Toronto, went under 5.5 Ks. 13 of the 20 lefty starters to face the Jays went under their strikeout prop, averaging just 4 strikeouts a start. When you have Fried on the road against a low K-rate team like the Jays, you know what these trends mean. You have to keep riding the trend until it's dead. And that's what we're doing today with Max Fried.
Man, that's bold. I can't help but look at the 7-plus K performance in 3 straight in 8 of his last 9 games. But excuse 6 of his last 8 games. But that's a lot, girl. But
I'm a masochist.
This is why you do what you do. You're going to be sweating that one out, my friend. And I... I'm cheering it on, though. That is for sure. In terms of the game price, Yankees with Fried on the hill, minus 163 road favorites in that spot. Kevin Gausman and the Jays, plus 133. Low total as expected with this matchup, 7.5. Meanwhile, Twins and Marlins. So despite Miami's 7-game hot streak, you got the Twins here getting a little love as road favorites in Miami to start this 3-game set. Minnesota opened around minus 135. I'm seeing up to a consensus minus 150. As high as minus 156 out there with Joe Ryan on the hill against Edward Cabrera. Total in this one up from 7.5 to 8 in a handful of spots. What were you looking at?
Another strikeout prop under 5.5 Ks for Edward Cabrera, the Marlins righty. Lines moving against him as well when it comes to the game overall. But Cabrera's faced 5 low K rate teams, went under 5.5 in 4 of those 5. Cabrera punched out 5 batters in all those games, so granted it could be close. The Twins, Stormy, they're just like the Jays. These are two of the lowest K rate teams in baseball this year. They're averaging just about 4 strikeouts a game against righty starters. The starters, 43 unders and just 22 overs on their K props when facing the Twins this year. 7 of the last 10 have gone under 5.5 if you're a righty starter facing Minnesota. So Cabrera should go under this number. I don't care that he's at home. The Twins just don't strike out wherever they are, and the line is moving against them.
Do you have any feel on the game as a whole, or we just stick? I obviously, you are called the prop queen for a reason, and you find all of these angles that, like, novices like myself do not find. But do you have a feel for the game? Can the Marlins continue this hot streak, or are the Twins rightful at that price at 156?
With Joe Ryan on the bump, the Twins are priced correctly. I've seen the steam on the Twins, too. Minus 142, got to minus 156 this morning when I last checked. Joe Ryan's one of the better pitchers on this Minnesota staff, and you can see it with this strikeout prop as high as 6.5. He should get a lot of swing and miss out of the Marlins lineup. The Twins are the right side today. I have no interest in backing Edward Cabrera and the Miami Marlins.
Fair. It's interesting, again, the way that the – don't let the Marlins get hot all of a sudden, the way that they've played them, but shocking nonetheless. Let's go out to Pittsburgh. The Pirates carried over their winning ways against the Mets to game one of this series with St. Louis yesterday, 7-1. Paul Skeens on the hill for the Pirates today. See if they can extend that win streak to 5 games. Skeens had a tough outing, though, last Wednesday in Milwaukee. Gave up 4 runs in the second inning. Ended up getting pulled after 4. I mean, dialed it back in before getting taken out. But still, Cardinals, meanwhile, going with Andre Pallante here. 5-4, 4.43 ERA. Skeens and the Pirates, minus 171 home favorites. Run total, 7.5.
This is what I'm going to do for the rest of the baseball season until proven otherwise. Pittsburgh Pirates team total unders with Mitch Keller and Paul Skeens starting for the Pirates, especially at home, weirdly enough, where the Pirates average the 3rd least runs per game in Major League Baseball. The Pirates have not scored more than 2 runs for Paul Skeens more than twice this season in any of his starts. It's like Jacob deGrom in the Mets. When he was on the Mets didn't score. It's some weird mindset that when your best pitcher is on the mound, the batters just take the day off. That seems to happen every time with Skeens. Scares me a little against Pallante. But again, when you have a streak that you just want to keep riding, anything under a 2.5, I would 100% take it with Paul Skeens on the mound for the Pirates team total.
Paul Skeens' record this year, 4-7, because of exactly what you're referencing there. Despite him being a Cy Young favorite, he's been unbelievable. He does the job that you need him to get. He gets zero support more often than not. So 100% with you. How about the A's and Rays? That's just fun to say. Jeffrey Springs against Shane Baz today. What were you looking at in this one?
This is actually a revenge spot for Jeffrey Springs, who was a Tampa Bay Ray, has a ton of friends on the team. In fact, Brandon Lowe, who's one of his ex-teammates, he really doesn't have good numbers against lefties, and it wouldn't have been a surprise if he was out against a lefty starter. However, he said he's really excited 2 days ago. Lowe said he was very excited to face Jeffrey Springs, his former teammate. So I would be looking at the Athletics. I saw the line move almost 10 cents in their favor overnight. Tampa Bay, the line moved against them. They're at home. The ball flies out of there, so Springs, he does scare me a bit. With the revenge factor in mind, Jeffrey Springs and the line moving in his favor against the hot Tampa Bay Rays team, despite 80% of action backing the Rays, don't sleep on the revenge angle, and people don't know the name Jeffrey Springs, and they certainly don't probably know that he is in a revenge game facing his former teammates. So with that line move, I would say I would lean towards the Athletics today.
Nice plus 140 price available there. Run total in the game sitting 9. And I know that I mentioned it in passing, but this Padres-Phillies game, Nick Pivetta and Christopher Sanchez on their respective hills. We were able to cash one of our bets yesterday here on that first 5-run line for Philadelphia. They ended up winning it 4-0. They opened a minus 170 favorite in game 2 today. Saw the market move in some places as low as minus 150 here at Circa, but still minus 167 on DraftKings. But you were telling me some potential weather could be in play here.
There's a lot of really bad weather here in New York. It's fine right now. I'm looking out my window. But tonight, it's supposed to rain everywhere in New York. So there's a bunch of impacted games. I actually wrote it in like the PropQueen.com newsletter. The Padres at Phillies is very like bad rainy conditions, so they don't even know if they're going to play. Tigers Nationals also impacted by rain. Athletic Rays could be. Brewers at Mets, Reds at Red Sox, and Angels at Braves. All these East Coast games have a lot of weather and rain impact tonight. So when you're betting anything, be careful. And I know that we're going to talk some props coming up this segment or this hour. We could talk more about the props and why certain unders could be at play because of the rain coming up, Stormy.
Yeah, great, great reminder. We will do that coming up. And as you mentioned, the Prop Queen newsletter, if you haven't checked it out already, make sure you head over to thepropqueen.com. Sign up for that daily newsletter. Follow Ariel not only on her regular Twitter handle, at Ariel Epstein, but at Prop Queen Sports as well. Get all of that regular daily content. We are going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to keep the MLB talk rolling because there were a few props we mentioned here, but so many options when you have someone whose name is the Prop Queen. You have to get into it all. So stick around. Plenty more action that we can get into for today and then still to come. Adam Burke is going to join us a little bit later on this hour.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, you got to head out to Vegas and join the world's biggest football contest. Need a proxy? Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons, Winner Circle Proxy Service helps clients win over $9.3 million in the last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy over at winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. Of course, the Circa Million, Circa Survivor contest. We're all gearing up here in Vegas. Speaking of which, Ariel, when are you making your trip back out here to Vegas? You got to sign up. You got to get ready for the year. Have all the good bougie dinners. What's the plan?
I know. Kelly and I actually just spoke about coming in October for an event. So that might be on the docket. We were considering August to come for signups. I just don't know how we'll make it work because we have to go to a Premier Lacrosse game in August in Boston. Then she's going to Ireland for the K-State Wildcats football game week 0. Lots of traveling going on, but we probably will make it there in October.
Okay. Well, I'll be here ready and waiting and sweating out Saturday.
You're coming with us to Barry's. Hopefully. We're going to Barry's.
Yes, we need berries and bone marrow, right? Like all of the things.
Wait, we were just talking about pasta in the last segment, and I know Barry's is Barry's Steakhouse. The most underrated blessing of my life is finding the bone marrow pasta.
Yes, yes.
That thing, like that bone marrow truffle pasta from Barry's. Oh, delicious.
They know what they're doing. I had the good fortune, by the way, earlier this summer, they were doing some different things on property for the in-room, like, things. You know when you walk into a hotel room and on the TV screen, sometimes there's Mario Lopez. Well, in some of the rooms, there's going to be me basically going on a restaurant tour of Circa. And it was the best, I would say, 72 hours of work that I've had where I just got to eat for 3 days straight going around and trying.
What was the top? What was the top?
I mean, I don't know if anybody's been to 8 East here, the Asian restaurant mm-hmm. here. They were trying out a bunch of new dishes, including this garlic butter pot. Like, it's a new garlic butter noodle situation that was dynamite. So 8 East up here at Circa is fantastic. But I'm sure that
I accidentally got too drunk there. Can I say that on this show?
Accidentally on purpose.
Because,
maybe.
You know, when you travel, you know, when you drink at the airport and on the plane, then you land in Vegas, you forget you drank in the airport and on the plane going to Vegas. So I thought I had a clean slate going to 8 East. It was not the case. I was at that point. Not good.
That's what happens when you come to Vegas, though. You got to do it. And that's why, even for me, as somebody who travels a ton, Ariel, I'm coming home usually from a work event where I'm tired and exhausted and sleep on the plane. And I'm grateful that I can sleep through anything because I already know my plane is going to be filled with people coming to Vegas to get wild and have fun and have their moment. And I can't fault y'all for that. That's what you're supposed to be doing. But yes, come everybody, come join us, come out to Vegas, come out to Barry's, come sign up for Circa, get Winner's Circle Proxy, do all of that great stuff. We'll talk more NFL in just a little bit when VSiN's own Adam Burke joins the program. Breakdown what is a 94-page bear of a betting guide that dropped today. But we're going to stick with a little MLB talk here. No, last segment, Ariel, you gave out the Max Fried under 5.5 strikeouts, which I'm going to be praying for you, girl, because I looked at his numbers and it was stressing me out. But I know the trend has been your friend against these Blue Jays bats for these different pitchers. Let's go elsewhere, though. What was another K-prop that really caught your eye as you went through the card today?
Christopher Sanchez, the Phillies lefty, under 4.5 Ks. I saw this around +108 this morning. There are a chance of storms in Philly. The storms actually helps any kind of under if the game does get played. If the rain starts in the middle of the game, we could hit an under if Sanchez has to sit through a rain delay and gets pulled. Sanchez, either way, going under against a team like the Padres, who also don't strike out much. Sanchez had 2 strikeouts against the Mets, 4 against the Blue Jays, 5 against the Blue Jays, a.k.a. going under in 2 of 3 games against teams with low K rates, and the one he went over was in the rematch against the Jays. The Padres average about 4 strikeouts a game against lefty starters. 16 of the 26 lefty starters to face them went under their K prop, 7 of the last 10. So since San Diego doesn't strike out much, since there's bad weather in Philly, Sanchez under his K prop today.
Okay, valid point there. Is Bryce Harper reportedly in the lineup again today if we get the weather to cooperate? Is that true?
Ooh, I'd have to wait for – I get emails. Oh, that's funny. As soon as you say it, MLB did just send their daily email. Bryce Harper went 0-2 yesterday in his first game back. Harper – yeah, he's in the 3-hole. Wait, no, that was Monday. 3-hole yesterday. Doesn't say in the packet, so I'm assuming that means he's back in.
Okay, back once again today. Let's keep it rolling there. I like the Phillies today on the money line, but I haven't placed the bet yet, but I'm contemplating it. Let's keep going through the prop board here. Edward Cabrera under 5.5 Ks is another one you were targeting.
The Marlins starter up against a Twins team that really doesn't strike out much. 43 unders, just 22 overs this year against the Twins. Cabrera, he's got 5 strikeouts in 4 of the 5 games against low K-rate teams. 7 of the last 10 went under 5.5 Ks against the Twins. The lines also moved against the Marlins today. Cabrera, I don't care if he's home or away. He's not one of those pitchers that really makes or breaks the home road splits for me. So I'm going to take the under 5.5 Ks against the Twins team that makes a lot of contact.
You had interest in a lot of total bases props today. First of all, like, for people that are new to betting props, where should people start? Like, how do you get into your analysis on a daily basis? And then what drew you to maybe the most interesting total bases prop that caught your eye?
I like to look at home road splits, matchups against lefties and righties, see what's trending, what players are hot, which players are not, especially for offensive player props. We know that hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do in sports. So you've got to look to somebody who's seeing the ball like a beach ball. That happens to players throughout the course of a year. And one player that's happening to, who you may not know his name, Miami's first baseman, Eric Wagaman. He's hit the over of a half a base hit in 90% of his last 10 games and 70% of his last 20. In his last 20 home games, Wagman's had at least 75% of games one hit or more. He's hitting .278 at home this season, .224 on the road. So you're getting good value here with the Miami first baseman at home over a half a base hit. I know it's like -140. I don't know why I just said good value, but I guess it's because when there's usually players with base hits, like the base hit props are so juiced sometimes, Stormy. Like you could very, very rarely find an over a hit. It's not a single, it's not a double, it's just like a hit of any kind. So that's why you always see -200, -185. I have a good friend, Tom Vecchio. He likes to do a two-leg parlay of two players to get a hit, to get it to around -110, -105, because these numbers are so juiced. So just needing one player to go over a half a hit for -140 is actually not so horrible for a player on such a hot streak like Wagamin is.
And also, like, value is relative, and if somebody keeps cashing, obviously that's valuable to your bankroll. So I like to think of it that way as well. Speaking of somebody seeing the baseball like it's a beach ball, Cal Raleigh homered again yesterday, by the way. Big dumper.
He's insane.
Just keeps going yard. First of all, what a nickname. Just got to get that out there. But second of all, he's at 33 homers for the year, tied for third most ever through June in MLB history. Only Barry Bonds in 2001 and Mark McGwire in 98 hit more stepping into July. Both ended up with 70-plus on the year, and granted, a little bit different situation here with our boy Cal, but is he somebody that realistically could compete with Aaron Judge for AL MVP, for the home run leader? Judge still favored in both of those markets, but do you believe in the big dumper, I guess, is where I'm going with that.
Listen, he's been on an absolute tear, so I hate to say I don't believe in him. I know that he has sole possession of the MLB lead, 71 ribbies. He's got, last year was his career high, 34 home runs. He's one away, which is crazy. The problem and the reason why you're seeing Aaron Judge as the favorite is because he has proven that he can do this all year. Like, Aaron Judge doesn't regress unless he's trying to chase his home run record. Then he went on a little bit of a dry spell. However, we know Aaron Judge can make it 162 and continue to be as hot as he is. Cal Raleigh is doing something he's never done before. Is there value out there for Cal Raleigh to lead in home runs and be in the MVP market and conversation? Absolutely. In fact, Stormy, I would look to MVP more solely because that's not based on a number. That's based on what the voters are looking for. When you've already won MVPs, like an Ohtani, like a Judge, you have to do something you've never done before that's so unprecedented. And that's what Cal Raleigh's doing for the catchers out there. Kind of like offensive linemen. Yeah. No one talks about how important a catcher is. Cal Raleigh is an important catcher, and he's doing it on the offensive side of the ball.
Put respect on catchers' names. In the AL MVP market, Judge is a $9 favorite. Got to bet $900 to win back your 100. Raleigh there at +475. In the home run market, Judge -125. Raleigh +165 price. Shohei Ohtani 3-1 before it falls off 30-1 or higher. We're going to take a step aside. When we return, Adam Burke joins us in studio here at Circa, talking all things NFL and the newly out NFL betting guide here at VSiN.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tuesday edition of Money Moves rolling on here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, alongside Ariel Epstein out in New York. Stormy Bonantoni with you, live at downtown Las Vegas Circa Resort and Casino, where the one and only Adam Burke joins me over here on the desk, VSiN.com managing editor, and who just finished up a labor of love that is the 90-plus page NFL betting guide, officially having dropped at, I believe, midnight this morning. So how are you feeling now that this is finally out there for the world?
Well, you know, it's always good to get these out there, right? I mean, you know, these are our biggest selling points to our subscribers, the thing that they probably like the most that we do throughout the course of the year. And, you know, I mean, I'm relieved to have one out, but I've already started the college football guide, which comes out Tuesday, August 5th. So, you know, you just move from one thing to the next at this time of the year because things start to ramp up for the football season. But before we dive into the guide and what's in there, I got to give some shout outs here. You know, I actually took a vacation in June this year. I'm not accustomed to taking vacations, but I took one this year. And I was able to do that because I can leave things in the very trusted hands of my senior editor, Zachary Cohen, who did a fantastic job directing traffic, editing all the content for the guide. Same thing with our editor, Michael Dolan. Matt Devine, great layout once again. James Coleman, Jimmy, downstairs, great job with the cover. So I'm really, really fortunate to have a great editorial and design team. And, of course, we get a lot of buy-in from hosts like you, Stormy, that, you know, send in best bets, send in the division winners, all of that. So I think this is the best guide we've ever put out. I'm going to say that about every guide we put out. But I really, truly think this is the best guide we've put out, and it's because we have so many great contributors helping me out with it.
Well, every year, everyone gets better and better, Adam, and everyone knows how to tweak things the following season. However, for you, being the main person working on this, how long does the NFL betting guide take to put together?
So I would say, you know, from conception in terms of what we want to do with feature articles, obviously there's going to be some stuff that's in there year after year. And the team previews are always in there as well. And, you know, those are a big selling point of the guide as well. But, you know, it's probably a 6 to 8 week process, you know, in terms of deciding which features we want, who's going to write what, making sure that I navigate around people having vacations, you know, in the summertime, because this is a little bit slower, I guess, in the minds of a lot of people. So, you know, the one thing that we do is we try to really stagger when the content comes in so that we have time to thoroughly and properly edit it, but also in terms of formatting, you know, not having to do it all at once. So in terms of conception to actually releasing it, 6 to 8 week process. And that's the thing about the college football one. We have a shorter window because of getting the NFL one done. So it's crunch time on that one, but I fully expect us to have our best version of the college football guide for sure.
And I do want to just give you guys credit too. It's not easy because yes, all of us as hosts, we contribute to the guide, but you give us a deadline and more often than not, a lot of us are bleeding that right up to the wire. I got 24 hours though this year, Ariel. Last time I was like counting down the minutes. I got 24 hours ahead of the deadline. I was pretty impressed with myself.
I was impressed with you too. And also JVT, you know, your co-host here on Money Moves usually, but yeah, I mean, you know what? We got phenomenal contributions from our hosts. And, you know, there's over 100 best bets in between that. And then also we separated some of the individual awards markets, MVP, Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year. There's over 100 best bets from the voices and the faces that you hear and see on VSiN. And then also my writing staff over at VSiN.com. So if you want action, we've given you plenty of it here in the 2025 NFL betting guide.
So can you talk through that a little bit more? Because yes, there are a ton of bets that a lot of us have put in our own individual research and thought into leans that we have, but there are also just great core articles in there to help you get set for whether it is a team you want more information on, a style of betting that you want to get in on. So can you explain some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I will say there are a couple of teams across the best bets that people really like, one of them being your San Francisco 49ers. Hey, but I mean, look, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go about this process, right? You know, I mean, in terms of Ariel, you know, I was listening before I came on for a couple of segments. You know, she's looking to really attack the prop markets. Other people are looking to attack season win total markets or maybe, you know, championship future markets, things like that. So there's a lot of different ways to attack this, not only in terms of the bets that you choose to make, but also how you get to those decisions. So, you know, we see things like Steve Mackinnon's systems that are, you know, tried and true over a long period of time. He has a giant database of basically, this is why, you know, teams that are in this situation get better the next year. This is why teams in this situation get worse the next year. And he's able to sort of use those things, springboard off of that, and come up with the four season win total bets that he has in our NFL betting guide. You know, I looked at the new kickoff rules from last year, how field position changed, what happened in terms of third down success rate, how that led to more scoring last season. You know, things that you can't really act on now, but you're going to be able to act on as the season goes along. So there's just so many different ways to approach every betting market. And I think we covered kind of the gamut here in this guide.
Adam, for people that are going to look at this packet and see 94 pages, this is so daunting. How would you advise people to start?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think it's kind of what do you want to know about first, right? You know, do you want to know what we think about your favorite team or about your favorite team's division? Or, you know, are there some positions where, you know, you kind of want some confirmation in terms of what it is that you're already thinking? Or maybe, you know, you kind of want that dissenting opinion and get both sides of a bet that you're looking at or a team that you want to buy in on or fade. So I think you want to go to what interests you the most at first and see if that kind of falls in line with what you're thinking, and then start to expand your horizons, broaden out a little bit, and start looking at some of the other stuff, maybe some of the things that you haven't thought about, like some of those awards markets that are in there, like Zach's article on who could be this year's Broncos slash Commanders, where those are two teams that really overperformed last year in the minds of a lot of people. To some degree, you could say they overachieved, but there may also be some staying power to those two teams. So who are the potential candidates for this season that could be in that type of boat? So, you know, again, I think you start with what you're most interested in, and then you kind of branch out and start looking at some of the things that maybe you haven't thought about so far this offseason.
Yeah, team division previews. You mentioned your colleague Zach Cohen, who did a lot of great work on here. He's got a write-up on teams with sleeper appeal. You had a great article called Alternate Beliefs, which I want to know some of your takeaways from that, because while we talk so much about season win totals and what that standard core number is for people to bet over or under on, there are also a lot of alternate total numbers that are available, and it seemed like there were some pretty big takeaways from you going through that data.
Yeah, so look, I mean, the sports betting markets are really efficient, right? We know that the markets are very, very smart. They have all kinds of data, not only in terms of the team and player performances, but also the data of how their clientele is betting into these different markets. But it can be extremely difficult to predict out a team's full season. Now, obviously, you can't account for injuries, right? Those things are going to happen. Starting quarterbacks out for the year, a team's obviously going to fall well short of their expectations in most situations. But this is a market where I think betting alternate season win totals, there's a lot of opportunity to go out there and look at some of these numbers that, you know, maybe if the market is over under 9.5, you play an 8.5, you play a 7.5, something like that, because there's a lot of situations, and I wrote about this in the guide, there's a list in the guide as well, over the last three seasons where the market or where the closing line was plus or minus 1.5, plus or minus 2.5, or plus or minus 3.5 wins off of what a team's actual record was. Last year specifically, 13 of the 32 NFL teams were plus or minus 3.5 wins off of their closing season win total number. So there are some opportunities out there to bet into this market. Drew Dinsick, who's a regular guest with Gil, and you know he's on the Megapod and all of that, this is something that he's been talking about for several years now, and something that I've actually really started to dive into as a result of hearing it from him. I think he's one of the sharpest guys in the industry. I think it's really intriguing to see how many teams fall so far off of their season win total line that there's got to be some money to be made in that market. And again, that's why I think you want to use this guide to find some of those teams that maybe we agree that you're really high on, or maybe we agree that you're really low on, and look at some of these alternate win total markets.
Fantasy sports obviously so huge, and you guys have implemented some fantasy into this packet. Despite, of course, we do a lot of betting here. They go hand in hand, though, Adam. What can people expect on the fantasy side?
Yeah, so there are two terrific articles in here. And also, I mean, visually, they're stunning the way that Matt Devine put them together in this guide. So John Hansen, who was, of course, the host of Prop Points during the NFL season, and also Ryan Heath, both of those guys over at Fantasy Points, they put together a couple of articles for us here on stats to look at in terms of not only where you want to draft these guys with your upcoming fantasy drafts or your best ball drafts or something like that, but also some of the season-long prop markets that are out there, because there are a lot of individual player markets for over-under rushing yards, mm-hmm. over-under receiving yards, over-under passing yards, touchdowns, things of that sort. So they use their fantasy knowledge and their fantasy info to branch off of that and look at some bets that you can make in terms of the season-long props. So I thought John and Ryan did an excellent job with that. Thank you to Scott Barrett over at Fantasy Points for helping coordinate that. Two really, really good inclusions in this year's guide. And again, you know, fantasy's not something that we've really tackled in this guide before, but I think the carryover and the crossover between playing fantasy and betting prop markets is very, very much, you know, part of the process now for people that bet.
And I can attest on the VSiN Pro Football Tailgate show that we had every Sunday this year, John Hansen, I mean, they call him the guru for a reason when it comes to fantasy. He would come on with us every Sunday and just dole out winners in the prop markets because he understands so well those players from a fantasy perspective. So in the guide, it was a really great, like, correlative article showing how these projections can make for an over or underachiever based on some of those prop numbers. We're going to continue this conversation with Adam coming up next. More on the NFL betting guide officially out today. VSiN.com/subscribe to get everything we do here at VSiN, the guide as a part of it, plus best bets coming up next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
this Tuesday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, with some help from my friends, Ariel Epstein and Adam Burke, joining us here as we close out the program. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, producer Brian Ortega behind the glass, talking all things NFL betting guide with the official release earlier this morning. Training camp's just a couple weeks away. Are you guys doing, and I've been teasing it as such, so I would hope so, a refresh once again like we did last year after training camps are through?
Yeah, we will be doing a refresh after training camp. I mean, you know, you got to get through training camp healthy, right? And then once you get to that point and we see, you know, how some guys are deployed in the preseason, stuff like that, then, you know, you can hone in on some of the bets that you want to make for the season, whether it's week one or some more of your future stuff. So, yeah, we will be doing a refresh guide. I don't have a date on that. It'll probably be the last week of August would be my guess. But again, the college football guide comes out August 5th. So I got to figure that one out first.
When you put together this packet and you saw, you know, we were laughing in the last segment, Stormy and I, about how sometimes you'll see, like, for example, in the packet, the Buffalo Bills, everybody chose them to win the division. Was there a team that everybody you felt was super high on that you weren't expecting?
In terms of, you know, super high, I mean, I'm high on them too, but I was a little bit surprised to see how many people also preferred Denver over the Chargers in the AFC West. You know what I mean? When you look at our selections for the division winners, 14 still taking the Chiefs, 6 taking the Broncos, 6 taking the Chargers, nobody taking the poor Raiders. But I was a little bit surprised that people kind of felt the way that I did about Denver and weren't really prioritizing the Chargers in that division because – you know, I mean, obviously you've got Justin Herbert, you've got a Chargers team that's very, very strong if they're able to stay healthy. The Broncos, though, I think people just really, really respect that defense, which honestly could be even better this season than it was last year. And if you look at Bo Nix, he was really good after the first three games of the season. So I do think that once again, and a lot of us thought this last year too, that the Chiefs were starting to feel vulnerable and Mahomes was awful in the regular season and they still made it to the Super Bowl. So we'll see if we're right this year and thinking that the Chiefs are vulnerable. But, you know, again, you have 12 of our 26 experts not taking the Chiefs to win the AFC West. So there's definitely a sentiment there that maybe Kansas City's dynasty in the AFC and specifically the AFC West is starting to crumble a little bit.
Yeah, not selected in the AFC West and then zero picks for them to win the AFC. And we talked about this yesterday. We did, in honor of being 10 Sundays away from the official start of the NFL season, we did kind of our top 10 questions going into the year, one of them being, will the Chiefs finally take that step back? Because I feel like it's been a handful of years now that we have been predicting that they're going to fall off of this pedestal and that yet it never seems to happen. They're minus 120 favorites in the division right now, and I think you have to price them that way for having won it 9 straight times and still having Patrick Mahomes and so many of those pieces that have gone on the Super Bowl runs. But could this be the year that, whether it be the Broncos or the Chargers, take that step? I actually really like the Chargers. I like the Bolts and what Jim Harbaugh is bringing over there, too.
Well, and I think another thing about Kansas City is, like, the gap has closed now, right? I mean, for a while, it felt like Kansas City was just the clear class of the AFC West. But with Sean Payton, with the things that he's been able to do, I mean, you know, he handpicked Bo Nix. Clearly, he thought that he had something there in him to run his offense. And, you know, for the most part, it worked out really well last year. And then also with the Chargers, you know, with Harbaugh coming in, you know, you kind of had the chargering thing with Brandon Staley and, you know, some of the previous guys. Harbaugh's a guy that's won, you know, at every level. Yep. So, you know, I think there's a lot of people that sort of believe in both the Broncos and the Chargers, where just because the gap is closed with Kansas City. But I agree with you. I mean, you have to give them that level of respect. And also, we just talked about it. Mahomes was not good in the regular season, but that defense was fantastic. So they're still going to have a good defense again, thanks to Spags. So you have to kind of respect that and price that in still too.
Going over to the NFC, I know that Minnesota has their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, who's finally coming after season-ending injury last year, and we never got to see him. How do you look at the Minnesota Vikings compared to teams that we are more certain about, like the Packers and the Lions?
I mean, look, I think you look at the guide, and, I mean, two people picked the Vikings to win the NFC North. I think there's a lot of question about J.J. McCarthy. Personally, I wasn't impressed with him at all in college, and that's not just because I'm an Ohio State fan. He didn't have to do much. You know, there were some games he didn't even throw the ball in the second half. So what is he going to do when he gets into an NFL game where he's got to win on that last drive or, you know, be able to at least move the football enough to avoid giving it back when you have a lead, stuff like that? I think there's a lot of questions about that. Obviously, the team around him is very, very good, and Kevin O'Connell's an outstanding head coach. But 23 of our 26 experts taking either the Packers or the Lions. And you know, you asked me if there was a team that I thought I was a little bit surprised about that a lot of people liked. I'm surprised that so many people still like the Lions. Now, I do, and I think Dan Campbell at 22-1 is a good bet to win Coach of the Year. But there's a lot of negative sentiment around the Lions because they lost both their coordinators. Mm-hmm. And all the talk is Ben Johnson is this genius. He's this offensive guru. He's this. He's that. Look how Jared Goff played under him. Maybe this team's just good. Maybe Dan Campbell is just a good head coach. And, you know, not much is going to change with the coordinators and the way that they kind of shifted everybody around. So I think these schemes are going to be very similar. But I was surprised to see, you know, a lot of people that still liked the Lions in spite of, you know, what the narrative has been all offseason long.
And we will talk so much NFL throughout the course of the week with this guide coming out, have a bunch of guests on talking about these different articles and stuff, but so appreciative of all the work that you and your crew have done. Again, this is out now, VSiN.com/subscribe. When you're a subscriber, we've got this football early bird special going on for $175. You get everything we have to offer here at VSiN. So that is daily best bets from all of our hosts and guests, access to the betting splits, all of the video content, unlimited articles. And you get the guide that, quite frankly, is worth the price in itself for just this one document, all the prep you get for the NFL season. But all of that up right now at vsin.com/subscribe.
And something else I want to mention, while this is called the football special, the fact that it runs through the Super Bowl means you get the NBA guide,
yes,
the NHL guide, the college basketball guide. So while we're calling this the football special, it's not like you only get football content.
Yep.
You're going to get multiple guides throughout the course of the season and, of course, our Super Bowl guide. So, you know, you're getting a lot of stuff across a lot of sports where things are very busy in September, October, November, December, all of that. So, yes, it's called the football special, but you're getting all six major North American sports here in this guide.
It's awesome.
Or in this offer.
Yes, it's awesome. And while we'll have a lot of futures focus throughout the summer, we do have things that we can bet on today. So let's wrap up things today with our best bets presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. The trifecta continues with GBank First Bet and us here at VSiN. If you open a GBank Visa Signature card in your first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet, that triggers what is a $500 trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. And then what were we just talking about with that VSiN Pro subscription? You get that for free as a part of this trifecta. VSiN.com/GBank is how you can get more information. It's a one-time promotion. Limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. Does not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. And Ariel, let's start with you. What is your best bet of the day you want to close us out with?
Best bet of the day, Miami's righty Edward Cabrera under 5.5 Ks. He faced four different teams with low K rates, and he went under in all but one of them. Righties, 43 unders and 22 overs against Minnesota, averaging 4 strikeouts a game, 7th last 10, went under 5.5 Ks as a righty facing the Minnesota Twins. Edward Cabrera under 5.5 Ks today, Stormy and Adam.
Beautiful. And Adam, I know you have a handful of MLB plays as well. Speaking of those articles that you get unlimited access to, Adam does an MLB article daily on VSiN.com as well.
Yeah, so I would say my
favorite. You're not busy enough, by
the
way.
No, not at all. Never. I would say my favorite play of the day is Philly's first 5 run line, -0.5 run, -125. I know you're laying kind of the double negative here, which a lot of people don't like to do when it comes to a run line, but I guess it's a really, really good spot to fade Nick Pivetta. Nick Pivetta has been terrific this year. He got out of Boston, got away from the AL East, got away from Fenway Park. His numbers have been really good as a result. His home run to fly ball percentage, 9.7%, easily a career best. But he's a fly ball guy, now pitching in Philly, where it's going to be very warm, very humid. Ball should carry if they're able to get this game in. Pivetta's walk rate more than double what it is at home. Strikeout percentage about 5% lower on the road compared to at home. And Sanchez is terrific. He's an extreme ground ball guy, over a strikeout per inning. The types of guys I like to back. A lot of ground balls, a lot of strikeouts. It's hard to manufacture innings in today's Major League Baseball. So I like the Phillies first 5 run line, -0.5 run, -125.
Yeah, I had a Phillies F5 run line yesterday and just referenced also the way that the Phillies bats perform at home. They're top 5 in Major League Baseball at home in the first 5, OPS top 6. A lot of those things work to their favor as well. I think I might be on the Phillies for the full game, but maybe I'll join you on an F5 run line as well. -167 has gotten a little too rich for my blood on the money line there. But those are our best bets again presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. appreciate all of the work once again on this NFL betting guide. Like we joke calling it a labor of love, but that's really what it is. It's laborious, it's time intensive, but it ends up being one of the best things that gets put out all year. So kudos to you and your staff on that, Adam.
I greatly appreciate it. And again, like I said, I mean, I can't do this without the team that I have. So shout out to my editorial team, our design team, and also all the hosts and contributors who sent us their best bets, because I mean, it's a really big selling point for this product.
That's a wrap for us today. For Ariel Epstein and Adam Burke, and of course our wonderful producer Brian Ortega, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Coming up after this, stick around. Prop Points with Nick Whalen, going to give you all of the latest on the NBA free agent frenzy. What is going on in Milwaukee? All of that, they'll have it covered after this. Have a great day.